I think it should be on par with all the other issues, because when you think about it, Joe, that hundreds of millions of people around the globe are already being impacted by climate change. And if you look at America, the continental United States, we see the droughts of the Southwest, the fires in San Diego, Katrina. What more do we need to see in terms of impacts to realize we've got to change the way we live? And why shouldn't the churches be leading this? Of course they should be, because that's God's mandate to us. God said in his own word in Genesis 2:15, care and protect it.
Well, that's Richard Cizik. He's a VP for Governmental Affairs for the National Association of Evangelicals, recently on Joe Scarborough's program. We'll hear that whole interview here in just a moment. He says that climate change and what we ought to be doing to change climate change or change it back or whatever we're supposed to be doing should be on par with the other issues that concern Christian evangelicals. Do you agree? Or do you disagree? It's Audio Open Lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in here in the second hour. We'll talk about that among some other things. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you had to list the top three issues in order of importance to you as a Christian and as a citizen here in this United States, what would it be? Would climate change be on the list? If so, why? If not, why not? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or you can email us as we come to you live this Tuesday, November the 6th, issuesetc@kfuo.org. People joke about climate change. We took a trip this summer. Actually, it wasn't this summer. It was this fall, but it felt like this summer. Jeff mocks me because we went down to Branson for a weekend. And that weekend in Branson was one of the hottest weekends of the whole summer that we spent down there. My wife's car, due to a little car accident, has a problem with the air conditioner. When it gets hot, when the car gets hot, the air conditioner kicks on and off and on and off. And so it doesn't ever really get very cool in the car. Where there we are, imagine our plight on that main road in Branson where top speeds might reach a harrowing 4.5 miles an hour, if you're lucky, on one of the hottest days in early October, and the air conditioner's barely working, and all I could say to my family was, well, this is global warming. Get used to it, kids. This is what the rest of your lives are going to be like. Now, I don't know if I buy into global warming. If I don't, there's obviously something going on in the climate, some changes, some fluctuations, but I don't know how to account for them. But say for the sake of argument that in some way, and Richard Cizik seems to think that this is true, in some way, if we haven't contributed to it, maybe we can do something to help. And maybe we have contributed to it, and we need to stop doing whatever it is we were doing and do something else. He says the churches ought to be in the battle there, pushing for it. After all, God said, take care of the earth. He's got a Bible passage. Should that, is for you, be reason enough to put climate change at the top of your list of three things of most importance when you consider yourself as a Christian and a citizen? Do you agree or disagree with Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals? 1-800-730-2727. I want your answer to that question during Audio Open Lines. 505-7850 or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, Joe Scarborough had Richard Cizik on to talk about climate change. Here's how that interview went.
An inconvenient truth made global warming a household phrase, but now the environment may be actually getting a bigger ally than Al Gore. His name? God. A growing number of conservative Christians are going green, and they're declaring that protecting the earth is a moral issue of the first order. With me now is the Reverend Rich Cizik. He's Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Association of Evangelicals, who have been the most vocal advocates of Christian environmentalism. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Reverend. Greatly appreciate it.
Good morning, Mr. Scarborough. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I would guess, though,
terrific,
that you may have upset some evangelicals in the flock by talking about environmentalism as a moral issue. How have some conservative Christians been responding to your tact?
Well, of late, I think it's going a little better. But let's face it, a year or so ago, it was tough hoeing, so to speak, using a
biblical analogy for the earth as opposed to tough rowing. So, frankly, it's better these days. You know, nobody's trying to take away my job like they were a year ago.
Who was trying to take away your job a year ago?
Well, 25 evangelical leaders wrote to the National Association of Evangelicals and said, well, Mr. Cizik shouldn't be putting importance on the earth and caring for it. We think we should stick to issues like same-sex marriage and abortion. And, of course, I happen to believe and have been speaking out saying tending the earth, caring for it, is a biblical duty which God gave us. And so, hey, back off, would you please? Well, some have, some haven't. But in any case, what is really happening, Joe, is that the American evangelicals are becoming, well, green, if you will.
Why is that?
Because
obviously, there are a lot of evangelicals that spent the 70s and the 80s and the 90s reacting to what happened in the 1960s. But now you certainly see a great change among a lot of evangelicals, not only talking about the environment, they're also talking about spending more time helping the poor, helping the disadvantaged, taking on issues that liberals have owned over the past 20, 30 years.
Yes, but we're putting it in a biblical context. So we're saying, look, whatever the past was, it's a new day, it's the 21st century, and we are the new evangelicals, and we have a broad agenda, and caring for the earth is one of those agendas. And so I'm out here in Minnesota, Joe, to announce the National Association of Evangelicals partnership with the Environmental Protection Association's Energy Star Congregations program. So we are asking all 45,000 churches associated with NAE to, if you will, go green, that is, become energy efficient. And by doing so, let's put it really, if 300,000 houses of worship in America, that's Protestant, Catholic, Muslim mosques, everybody, if we did that as a community, collectively, 300,000, we would save $200 million annually for other purposes, and we would reduce 2 million tons of CO2, nitrous oxides, mercury, sulfur from the atmosphere. So why shouldn't we be doing what God has always told us to do, which is to care and protect the earth? And we're going to do this. And I dare say, too, since we're talking politics today, and it is an election day in many states, this is going to be an issue which evangelicals are going to look at when they cast their ballots.
Well, I was going to ask you that question. Obviously, evangelicals made the difference electing George Bush in 2004. Yes. He's a Texas oil man. He's never been overly sympathetic to the environment. I say that as a guy who's talked to him about the environment on several occasions. Will evangelicals decide that the environment is just as important to them as the issues in 2004 that drove them to George W. Bush?
Well, I'm not sure of that, but I'm saying if they even recognize it as partially important, which I don't think it should be that little, I think it should be on par with all the other issues, because when you think about it, Joe, that hundreds of millions of people around the globe are already being impacted by climate change. I was up in Alaska at Shishmaref Island, 50 miles from Russia in the Arctic Circle this summer, and already the marginalized people, the Inupiks in this case, they're one of the tribes, they're already losing their land completely to Arctic sea level rise. And if you look at America, the continental United States, we see the droughts of the Southwest, the fires in San Diego, Katrina. What more do we need to see in terms of impacts to realize we've got to change the way we live? And why shouldn't the churches be leading this? Of course they should be, because that's God's mandate to us. He said it was good, it was very good. And he said, moreover, he said, God said in his own word in Genesis 2:15, care and protect it.
Well, there are more.
And have we been doing that? I don't think so.
There are more and more evangelicals who are certainly siding with you, and I think it's going to have an impact in the 2008 race. Thanks so much, Reverend, for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. It's my
Reverend
pleasure.
Rich Cizik.
All right, there's the interview with Joe Scarborough and company. Well, he's made a Bible case, hasn't he? He's got a Bible passage, more than one, to back up his case that Christians ought to be more involved with the environment. Do you think they should? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. How important is the issue of global warming or climate change? That's a little more neutral term. Climate change and man's ability to change it back or change it forward. How important is it to you when you vote? In your daily life, when you go to church, do you think that your church ought to become an EPA Energy Star congregation? I didn't even know there was such a thing. But that's what Cizik was in Minnesota to announce. a partnership between the National Association of Evangelicals and the Environmental Protection Agency to spearhead a new program of EPA Energy Star congregations. Now, you've seen Energy Star all over the place, haven't you? If you have bought electronics at any point in the near past, you've seen the Energy Star. It's on your computer monitors. It basically says this thing is adheres to all Environmental Protection Agency standards in its components and what it does when it's running, and if you throw it away, how you ought to do that. What about your congregation? I mean, think about those congregations. They got big air conditioners running all the time. Lights are on. Heat's on. How important of this is of an issue is this for you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you were making your list, what are the three most important issues to you as a Christian citizen when you vote? What are they? And is climate change on the list? Why or why not? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or email us, issues, etc., at KFUO.org. The National Association of Evangelicals is no small organization. It's the real deal when it comes to the mainstream voice of American evangelicalism. They say, go green? Do you agree? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, issues, etc., at KFUO.org. I'll tell you why I run around my house turning off the lights. It has nothing to do with the environment. I don't think it through that far. I run around my house turning off the lights because I pay the electric bill. I run around my house turning down the thermostat. My son has decided that he is now master of the Wilkin thermostat. It used to be my daughter. Now my son has decided that he can now turn up the heat whenever he feels like he's a little chilly. And I reminded him last night in no uncertain terms that Dad is the master of the thermostat. He's the only one who gets to turn it up or down, because Dad's the one who pays the bills. But I don't think it through as far as the environment goes. I'm just thinking about, am I being irresponsible? We don't have a formal recycling program in the town that I live in. Jeff, do you guys have recycling in Edwardsville? Has that come to your corner of the backwoods yet?
Backwoods? You guys don't have recycling?
No, no formal recycling program.
My goodness.
No.
We've been doing it ever since we built that house 11 years ago.
So do you guys recycle? Do you have your little red bins, your little green bins, and your little blue bins?
We just have a blue bin, and you're supposed to separate everything.
Separate? Explain it to me.
Newspapers go in bags, and you're supposed to separate, like, the cans, put them together, and your plastics together, and your boxes got to be, you know, it's all got to be, like, stomped down and everything. What's going on in Waterloo? What did they just incorporate last year or something?
We just got electrification recently, so, and the telegraph system. Boy, is that a wonder. We don't have a formal recycling program. I think they're probably going to come to it pretty soon. Now, when we go and visit my relatives in Dallas, they all mock us as backward and Neanderthal because we don't recycle. I don't know how many bins my mom and dad have out in the back behind their house. They have to... In other words, the garbage collectors, as we used to call them, don't have to really do any work except lift the cans and put them in the proper places on the truck. Everything gets separated by the consumer. Now, we don't do it. Should I? I could do it voluntarily. I could go out and buy myself different bins, and I could put the ones out on the curb that go to the dump, and I could take the other ones to the various receptacles around town for people who do it voluntarily. It's not mandatory. Am I being irresponsible? We have bottled water at home because sometimes the city water is a little iffy. Although the dog drinks it and she's doing pretty well. My kids go through bottles of water like candy, but they go through it faster than candy. And I'll walk through the house and I'll find three or four bottles of water that are half drunk, which drives me insane because, again, I'm paying for it. Some of them go into the dog dish, by the way. Some of them water the plants, and some of them get put back in the kids' bedrooms to say, finish this, we're paying for that. But when it's all empty, it goes in the trash. Now, there are people who would say, that's a sin. You should be recycling those bottles. It says right there on the bottle, recycle. Tell me what you think about it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc.org. Would Jesus sort his trash? We know Jeff does. Would Jesus sort his trash?
Issuesetc at KFUO.
At KFUO.org. Yeah, don't go to our website or just to some random collection of letters on the internet. Bob in Newport, Vermont says this. He's emailed us. To speak out against a social issue like modern slavery is mandatory for confessing Christians. To make prophetic proclamations about issues whose science and economics have not been fully flushed out might be dumb. I think he's talking there about global warming. Yes, people create global warming, some global warming, but don't blame the currently melting polar ice caps on Mars, on man and human activity, I think is what he intends to say. But warming will help some people and hurt some. Economist Bjorn Lomborg, he says, claims that a pound of carbon released in the atmosphere does $2 damage but costs $20 to remove it. Meanwhile, malaria and unsafe drinking water kill millions of children every year. The scientist claims that we could largely solve the malaria problem and the drinking problem for a fraction of what it would cost to abate man-made atmospheric carbon. Leave it to evangelicals to lose their focus on the word and to wander off into the trendy social issues. Evangelicals have long left themselves open to manipulation by Republicans who appeal to social issues. I guess it's only fair for them to be manipulated by the Green Democrats, although I don't think this is a case of the Democrats doing it. Should the church go green? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Churches are just like any other places, I would say places of business in the sense that they have parking lots, therefore they have runoff. They have utilities and facilities there that use a lot of energy. Heck, a church has a pancake supper, and they think of all those styrofoam plates. So when you go to the voters' booth, it is election day after all, how much does the climate and global warming matter to you as a Christian voter? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, issuesetc at kfuo.org. Here's Ann calling from Crestwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good afternoon. I've been listening to Rush a lot lately, Rush Limbaugh, and from what I've heard of people calling in and from listening to him, one lady called in, I think today, and said that in 1979 on the cover of Newsweek, the thing that scared her as a child was the coming ice age. And then an old 86-year-old man called in and talked about the heating, I think, that was going on in the 30s. So the gist of it is that this runs in 30-year cycles, which I have not heard from anybody else.
Oh, I've been telling my daughter that for a long time, Ann. Hey, Ann, before I let you go,
yeah,
do you recycle?
We've been recycling in Crestwood. Crestwood has its problems, but we've been recycling here for many years.
It's mandatory to recycle? Or?
Well, I don't know that it's mandatory, but we've got our recycling bin, and we've been doing it. And even before that, I would take things over to Kirkwood or whatever to try to do. You know, I don't like waste. I don't want to see the place all messed up. But that's not my number one issue. The pro-life thing would be number one. And I don't like the Democrats messing with the definition of marriage, which has been the same thing ever throughout history, as far as I know.
So what's on your list, your three-point list?
I don't know what the third thing would be, although the idea of socialists running the country scares me, especially if it's Hillary. She's just such a strong socialist, and though Al Gore and I think Barack Obama scares me even more than she does. I've been reading Charles Krauthammer. He teaches me things. He's a very good one to read.
So you would have, am I taking it that the economic issue of keeping America capitalist or something would be on your list? Is that what am I hearing you correctly?
I'm a pretty strong Republican.
So what else would be on your list before I let you go?
Well, the pro-life, the gay marriage thing, that's all just a mess. I don't know. When you get into other things, you start breaking it down. I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Ann. So Ann's got pro-life, she's got gay marriage, and she's got economic issues. DB is calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hi, Todd. When the issue of being green, which I guess is the new word for environmentalism, and how it relates to the church, my problem with environmentalism is the philosophy behind it. I think that Christians should be conservationists. That is, that we preserve what God has given us for us, for humanity, because God has blessed us with it. But at the same time, I think that the environmental movement has several major flaws. One of them is that it puts nature above humanity, rather than seeing that the world around us was put in our charge, in our care. I also think it puts us as part of the world rather than in our position as those made in God's image. It also neglects to understand the ramifications of the fall, that the world is going to experience, that the creation experiences wear and tear and depleted because of the very nature of the fall. And there are some other, issues related to that that they simply don't see. And I think that really skews their understanding of human beings' relationship to nature.
DB, do you hear that in comments like Richard Cizik, who talks about Christians need to go green?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I think it is another attempt of the evangelical church to adapt to the culture, rather than to say, I think Christians have failed. Often we're just conservative for conservative sake, and we don't often really check our conservatism against the Bible. I find myself doing that. I am a Republican, I am a conservative, but I have to really continually ask myself, is what I'm believing in line with Scripture? And so I think when they ask hard questions about the environment, that as Christians we need to address those issues and not just abuse the creation God has given us. But I do think that this modern evangelical green movement is really another adaptation to the culture, rather than coming up with a uniquely Christian perspective from the Scripture, which acknowledges that the creation is God's. It is something, and it's something given to man, and we do have the right, because of what God has given us, to utilize it for our benefit and for the benefit of the human race, and to truly love our neighbor by using it to that benefit.
All right, good way to end it, DB. I want to come back to that in a minute. Let's talk with Ed in Kirkwood. Hi, Ed.
Yes, Pastor. I think the church should go green for the simple reason that this is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost.
You mean get green on the altar? Ed, you joke, but I think it's only a matter of time before people will say, little Joey will come into church, Grandma, why does the pastor wear green? Why is there green hanging on the altar? And the answer will be, that's because we care about the environment.
Well, yeah, that is if you're in a church that doesn't know how to separate the two kingdoms.
Ed, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kirkwood. Yeah. Well, my church goes green half the year. Although this last Sunday, the church went white because it was All Saints Day. Which reminds me, we're going to be reviewing a sermon coming up in the last hour of the program by Pastor Joe Fisher of Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin, where we were very recently up in his neck of the woods, not too far from where Joe preaches. Had a chance to see Pastor Fisher and spend a little time with him. He preached on All Saints Day this last Sunday. We'll hear that sermon and we'll review it in the last 45 minutes of Issues, etc. It's audio open lines until then. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How important is the issue of climate change, global warming to you when you vote? IssuesETC@KFUO.org, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727. DB put it well. He talked about caring for the creation God has put us in for the sake of our neighbor. We'll talk more about that after this.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Chuck Rather, inviting you to join us next time on our 10:05 Bible study when we'll talk about Genesis chapter 4 with Pastor Tim Ostermeyer of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne. And then on Thursday, it's our Bible Study on the Road program live from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis with our guest, the Reverend Dr. Gerald Kieschnick, President of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Do you want more of God's grace? Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois is a Bible-believing church faithful to the Scriptures, a place for the whole family, a community that cares with a vibrant historic Christian liturgy. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Terry Phillips, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. The push to rid military bases of pornography is gaining momentum. Several months ago, a Department of Defense committee ruled that the magazines Playboy and Penthouse were not sexually explicit. The American Family Association is weighing in, while at the same time the Pentagon is stonewalling. Steve Jordahl reports.
Step onto any military base in the country, and you're likely to be able to buy any of several sexually explicit magazines, including Playboy's lingerie and Playmates in Bed. This pornography saps the morale of the troops, according to Tim Wildman of the AFA, especially in a day when military men and women are serving alongside each other.
We believe that the bill they passed in 1996 banning sexually explicit material from being sold on military installations is not being enforced.
We asked the Department of Defense how Playboy and Penthouse were left off the explicit list. The reply, quote, "Any material offered for sale or rental on DoD property that the board determines to be sexually explicit is not offered for sale or rental on property under the jurisdiction of the DoD.
To read that the Department of Defense did not consider Playboy and Penthouse to be sexually explicit material was a real head-scratcher.
It strikes Patrick Truman of the Alliance Defense Fund as strange that it would take a committee to decide if certain pornography is sexually explicit.
You don't need a board to figure out what that is. Common sense dictates that Playboy, Penthouse, and the others are sexually explicit.
The Pentagon continues to be less than helpful. Michael Dominguez, in the chain of command overseeing the committee, refused to comment for this story. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
The Pentagon is refusing to release the names of the members of the Board of Review that determined Playboy, Penthouse, and the others are not explicit. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
AM 850 KFUO is pleased to salute our day sponsors on this Tuesday, November 6th, 2007, the members of the family of Pastor Leroy Eckert of Redbud, Illinois. This surprise recognition is in honor of Pastor Eckert's birthday. Pastor Eckert is Pastor Emeritus of St. John Lutheran Church in Baldwin, Illinois, where he served with dignity and compassion, sharing God's Word for 20 years. Pastor Eckert formerly served as a missionary translating the Bible in Papua New Guinea. We salute Pastor Leroy Eckert and thank the Eckert family for being our AM 850 KFUO Day sponsors.
You can share the real meaning of Christmas with your young children and grandchildren in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, titled What Happened to Merry Christmas? It's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this new children's book at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, What Happened to Merry Christmas?
You know, I think about this issue, climate change, and if you just lay it side by side with the other big issues that evangelicals are concerned about, people want, let's just take gay marriage for the sake of argument. People want gay marriage, and that's wrong. I'm speaking here as the average American evangelical, and that's wrong. That's not right, and that's going to be bad for a whole number of reasons. So the government ought to do something to keep gay marriage from becoming a reality. Now, in the case of gay marriage, it would be something like a constitutional marriage amendment. You've heard people call for this all over the place. I actually think that's not a bad idea. But let's be honest. We're saying something is wrong. It shouldn't happen. The government should do something to prevent it. Well, insert, just for the sake of argument, climate change. Climate change isn't happening. It's not helping people. It's hurting people. It shouldn't happen. The government should do something about it. Now, there are a lot of American evangelicals who have decided that they're going to take that position on climate change, too, and vote accordingly. Are you one of them? It's audio open lines, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here's Lael calling from Webster. Hi, Lael.
Hi, good afternoon. Well, this is really stimulating, I think. A lot of thoughts came up. Initially, sin has created the death of the earth, and it will groan in childbirth, as it says in Scripture, and it is. And the point that the gentleman made with pollution and our neighbors is very important. We need to know how to get rid of the old oil, our batteries, you know, take care of that. But the church's job, strictly, is for spreading the gospel. And I think that guy just wants to preserve his job.
All right, Leo.
Does that make sense? Also, too, my three things that's really important. Most important is the right to live. And the right to live includes no abortion, anti-abortion, no abortion, no cloning, and marriage as it's stated in Scripture. So that maintains life as we know it. Also, the right to worship freely.
All right, Leo, thank you very much. You give our best to your cat. At least I thought that was a cat. It was either a cat or a very, very small child. So is the issue of global warming important to you? I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's important to Richard Cizik and the National Association of Evangelicals. They got a new program with the EPA called Energy Star Congregations. He said we could just, if 300,000 congregations in the United States, that's a rough estimate, went green, think of how we could reduce our carbon footprint. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Here's Andy in Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. Was it DB that talked earlier?
Yeah, just before the break, it was DB.
I just really second his motion there. The thing that we tend to lose sight of, I think, in looking at the various issues and at what we should do politically regarding how we feel about these issues is that the issues are not the number one thing. The number one thing is faith in Jesus Christ. If that faith then leads us to be interested in other things, such as the pro-life issue, the anti-gay marriage, the anti-global warming issue, then that's fine, that's good, then that's something we should pursue. But if the issues themselves become all important, then that becomes almost a form of idolatry, and that can lead us into following people who are off on various crusades and not for the reasons that are solid or sound as far as our faith is concerned. The Democrats, realizing the power that the evangelicals had in the last presidential election, deliberately went out to say, oh, well, we're religious too. Come and vote for us. The Republicans have been very disappointing in that although they have said the right things about the issues, they haven't done a whole lot about them as far as I can see. There have been some bits of progress, a couple of Supreme Court justices perhaps, but if we're focusing on the Republicans or if we're focusing on the Democrat, our focus is exactly in the wrong place.
Andy, thank you very much. I think he has some very wise words there to talk about if the issues become an end in themselves rather than the fruit of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Richard Cizik says, how many times on the air when we've talked about global warming as often as we have, Jeff, have you always cautioned me, you put up on the screen there to say, now, Christians can disagree about global warming, right? Christians can disagree. Jeff counsels me to remind our listeners that Christians can disagree about global warming. Now, Richard Cizik says, no, you can't. The Bible says very clearly, take care of the earth. So Christians can't disagree about global warming. He says climate change is time for the church to get on board, doing what it can to help reduce climate change. David's calling from his car. Hi, David.
Hi. I think God's in control of the climate. The other night I saw on Channel 9 a travel thing that somebody was in Alaska, and they said 10 or 15,000 years ago, I forget the number that they used, but it was somewhere around that, there was 1,000 foot of ice over Alaska. And, of course, if the ice age came down here, we didn't have cars or airplanes or whatever, and all the ice melted, and maybe it's continuing to melt. I just think God's in charge, and I think global warming is just a joke, in my opinion.
All right, David, thank you very much. Well, of course God is in charge. That's kind of part of his job description. If you're God, you're in charge. But that can also become an excuse, can't it? I mean, it has in the past. I've been reading lately, just for, you know, idle reading, a book about salt, and they've been talking about how in Great Britain, when they started intense salt production...
Wait a second. Yeah. You're reading a book about salt?
Yeah, it's a great book, by the way.
And you're complaining you don't have enough time on your hands?
No, I never said I don't have enough time on my hands. I use my time wisely. Jeff, I understand the doctrine of vocation. I'm not like my producer. My producer, when he goes home, is still at work. Ask his wife. He never stops working. He has yet to divide his vocation as father and husband from his vocation as producer of issues, etc.
You're right about that. We're but salt. That. Salt.
No, salt. It's a very interesting book. Anyway, part of the book deals with salt production in Great Britain. And when they did this, they suddenly discovered, as they were pumping the brine up out from the ground there, they discovered that the town that they'd built all the salt production around started to sink into the earth. Not to mention the fact that to do the brine, they had to burn a bunch of coal, and they basically made everything black on the western side of Great Britain. Soot and all this kind of stuff. They kind of ruined the place. Now, it's not because they wanted to ruin the place. It's because they were looking out for their economic interest, and they were doing what they had to do, but they kind of ruined the place. It's bounced back. It has. You can go to the same place right now, and you can find beautiful rolling hills and sheep and all that kind of stuff. But to say that God is in charge, which is altogether true, doesn't mean that I can change the oil in my car on my yard and just let it drain right there into the yard and then expect God to make my yard green next summer. Hey, God's in charge. All I did was dump a bunch of motor oil out into the backyard. God's in charge of the environment. Where's my green grass? Actions. Oh, this is the lesson that Wilkin is trying to teach both his children lately. Actions have consequences. Let's go back to the phones and see what Chet has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Chet.
Evening, Pastor Ty. Well, I have to admit, you know, I'm not learned enough on the subject of global warming to really give an educated comment. I noticed there was a news article in Time once that I neglected to read, but of course you'd have to read more than one opinion on the subject. But I tend to lean more towards the idea where Scripture said the earth is going to burn in a fervent heat. And I'm like the one lady that called, our mission is to spread the gospel to those who are inclined to hear it before all that takes place. And, you know, I don't think that I'm strongly persuaded that that's the issue that I should be concerned about as far as my political preference. I remember being part of the last of the baby boomers. When we were coming up, we heard about this thing about overpopulation. You know, that's all they talked about for years. And you know, every time I'm out and about on the highways, there seems to be plenty of territory, not to mention all the food that we discovered in the course of a day to prove that that theory wasn't right. So I'm kind of like Dave, you know, it's all in God's hands ultimately, but your point is well taken about the fact that still doesn't mean we don't have some responsibility.
Chet, thank you very much. So Chet can't see putting global warming on his list of priorities when it comes to how he votes as a Christian citizen. What about Steve calling from his car? Hi, Steve.
Hey, your producer's talking some trash about that Missouri football.
What, did you get an off-air conversation with Jeff about Mizzou?
Yeah. It's only about Mizzou in Kansas.
Steve's a KU alum, Todd.
Anyway. Hey, both my parents, did I ever tell you this, Steve? Both my parents are alumni of KU.
Well, good for you.
What do they say?
You come from a good gene pool.
What do they say? Rock? What's the
Rock Shock Jayhawk?
Rock Shock Jayhawk. We have a little brass Jayhawk that sat on my dad's shelf as a paperweight. A little brass Jayhawk that sat on the shelf out in the living room. And
I'll be right there.
And the KU paraphernalia has grown as my dad has gotten farther and farther from every anniversary of his graduation. He just a little more nostalgic for Lawrence.
Oh, we have a Jayhawk shrine at our house.
Oh, you do? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is there such a thing as a Jayhawk?
Well, it was an individual referring to people who were against slavery in the 1860s.
Really?
Settling Kansas prior to the Civil War.
I had no idea. So it's more than just a mythical bird that walks around wearing a sweater.
Right.
It is, in fact, it has some historical precedent to it.
Right.
I guess you could say at least Mizzou has an actual animal.
Yeah.
As their mascot.
Yeah, but you know, kitty cats are a dime a dozen.
Where was Kansas on the slavery issue?
They were a free slate, not a border. They knew what they stood for.
They knew what they stood for, he says. They were free slate.
Okay.
All right, so what's your comment here?
Well, my point's pretty simple. On the global warming, what we're having here is a confusion, again, I think, of the doctrine of the two kingdoms. As a Christian in this world, we're God in this world, yeah, global warming is an issue. But also as a Christian in the church, we also have the issue of salvation. And so I think the point is people treat this as an either or, not as a yes to both, because they confuse the two.
Aha. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. That was worth waiting for. Our temptation is to say global warming is important, but the church is here to preach the gospel. And that is true. The church is here to preach the gospel, but God has also taught us in Scripture that Christians as individuals occupy not only the church, but also the world. And we occupy both at the same time. So the fact that the church is, without a doubt, and you'll get no stronger advocate than me, that the church's business in this world is nothing but the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. That does not in any way mean that individual Christians should ignore other issues where Scripture speaks clearly in the secular world. Barry's listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Todd. You know, I do want to say that I just thank God for you and Jeff and all the folks at KFUO. You're such a beacon of hope to all of us. And this might not be as weighty a conversation as some, but I wanted to give my opinion on it. First of all, God was in charge every time Jeffrey Dahmer had someone over for dinner. Didn't make it right.
Yeah.
But there is an assumption on the part of some people that we're the cause of global warming. The actual cause of global warming has far more to do with a change in the pattern of sunspots in 1999. We should have started to cool off in 1999, but unfortunately the pattern continued. So the sun is hotter. The reason why there's global warming is the sun is hotter. Now, we may have to do something about this at some point, but our ability to change things, do you realize there's more forest in the United States than any time in the last 100 years? More clean streams, better drinking water. I mean, we've made massive gains, and we should continue to make these gains. But we can't just suddenly stop everything we're doing because the sun's hotter. We will have to figure out, if it continues to get hotter, we'll have to figure out to do something.
Barry, thank you very much. Now, there are alternative theories as to what's causing all this, and the reason it's important is because the cause, in some ways, if it can be determined, in some ways dictates the solution. Now, if the cause is out of our hands, that we may be able to contribute to a solution, we may not be able to contribute to a solution. I use the illustration of the guy who decides to change the oil on his car in the backyard and just let the oil drain out into his yard. There's a pretty easy, and the grass doesn't grow there for years to come. He might, some years later, wonder, what's causing that bald patch in the middle of my backyard? Now, if his wife reminds him that it's because he once changed the oil there and let the motor oil spill out all over the ground and didn't do anything about it, well, he knows the cause, and then he knows what he can do to prevent that from happening in the future, doesn't he? Don't change your oil and let the oil just spill out onto the ground. That's pretty common sense. When it comes to climate change, the temptation is to go one way or the other. The temptation is to say, we know the cause, and we're it. And therefore, we are the solution, too. Now, this is the hubris that many people see in the so-called environmental movement, whether it be championed by secular people or by Christian evangelicals. The hubris is, we're the cause and we're the solution. Well, we're not the solution. Christian theology is pretty clear in this. We are never the solution. Man's occupation of the earth generally tends to make it worse for himself and everyone else at almost every turn. They used to call it man's inhumanity to man. Now, we had a caller earlier that said, I think it was DB who called earlier and said he prefers to think of himself as a conservationist, that is, to conserve what's been given to him as a Christian living on this earth, and not to make man merely a part of creation or to make nature above man, but as stewards of the earth to look and say, why is it that I don't change my oil and let the oil just spill out all over the yard? Maybe I don't mind having a bald backyard and big dead patches of earth in my backyard. Maybe I don't. But guess what? I'm not going to live in this house forever. Someday someone else is going to live in this house. And they may want to have a green yard out here. And they may not appreciate the fact that I changed my oil back there and didn't dispose of it properly. So the reason I don't change the oil in the backyard, which would be very convenient for me, is because of the next guy who's going to live in the house. He's my neighbor. Why do we care about the environment? If Christians care about the environment for the environment's sake, or if we care about the earth for the earth's sake, and Chet rightly pointed out, this earth is not permanent, and it is earmarked for destruction. That doesn't give us license to misuse it. But we don't care for the earth for the earth's sake, because God didn't give us the earth for the earth's sake. It's not some sort of curio that we dust off on our mantelpiece and keep looking beautiful because we just appreciate it. It's here, God gave it to us, but he gave it to us that we might care for it for our neighbor. You know, I hate to find myself agreeing with some of the mainstream environmentalists, but it's true when they point out that we have to be concerned about the environment for the next generation. They're right. As much as it may pain you to hear this or pain me to say it, they're right. They may be wrong in everything else they say. But when they say, will the next generation have clean water? Will the next generation have clean air? Will the next generation? Now, they're right in that sense, in that narrow sense, that we don't do this for ourselves or for the earth. Although some of them get awfully close to saying that, don't they? When they say we do it for the next generation, that next generation of neighbors who have yet to show up here, they're right. Kent's calling from Dallas. Hi, Kent.
Hi, Ms. Wilkin. I just want to thank you for taking my call, and pretty much agree with what you were saying. It just, as I really struggled with trying to implement it in a way that's Christian, in a way that's faithful to being a good steward of God's the earth that God's given us. And it's been interesting. We live in a small town in Wiley, north of Dallas, and they gave us a whole green recycle bin when we just moved up there. And at first, I wasn't sure how we were going to use it. And but once I realized how much I was actually able to recycle and didn't have to pile a bunch of trash into the blue bin, it made it convenient. As opposed to when I had bought my previous house, the previous owners had left a bunch of cans of paint, and then we, of course, were going to redecorate, and we added to that stack of cans of paint. Well, when we decided to sell it, I didn't want to just dump it into the yard or anything, but to find the recyclable place, a recycling place here in Dallas, it took me about 3 trips, which meant I spent about 2.5 hours driving, burning gas, trying to find the recyclable place to dump all this paint. And so it was somewhat ironic and not very encouraging to my desire to be a good steward of the earth. But I think if they start making it more convenient, it'll certainly help.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. It definitely needs to be kept in perspective of being a good witness and a way to care for to love your neighbor.
Kent, thank you very much. That's what it's about. It's about serving your neighbor in love. Stewardship of the earth isn't about serving God. Well, God wants us to, and this is our way of serving God. It isn't about serving God. It's about serving your neighbor in love. God's taken care of, okay? Jesus Christ served him for us in our place. And now he says, God's fine. God's okay. God's taken care of. Worry about your neighbor. Patrick in California writes this. He says, how long can someone be considered evangelical? And we've been talking here about Richard Cizik from the National Association of Evangelicals. How long can someone be considered an evangelical without the evangel, that is, the gospel? We also know that God has promised not to destroy man by another flood and showed that by the rainbow. Should we not also understand that the fall came after God's command to man to tend the earth to which the head of the evangelical said, the greed we see that leads to the destruction of many of the earth's environments is a direct result of sin and its effect upon relationships between God and man and man and man. Looking at what the Apostle Peter wrote, it would be difficult to see that this world needs to be saved. He cites here 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing sound, and having burned the elements will be dissolved, the earth and its works will be burned up. He says, I wonder, too, how much of this is simply a rehashing of the social gospel from the 1800s to love our neighbors as ourselves. Wouldn't it be the utmost of love to share Christ with them rather than ecological thoughts? Blessings to you, and thanks for your show, and thank you for listening. Remember, it's not an either-or. It's not an either-or. The church proclaims the gospel. And individual Christians, as citizens of this earth, in whatever capacity they occupy that citizenship, serve their neighbor in love. And one of the ways we serve them is by keeping things clean. Bud writes this, how do we know global warming is true when we can't even trust the forecast for tomorrow or for next week? Remember a couple of decades ago it was global freezing? A new ice age was coming soon? I remember that. If you've lived long enough, you live through all of the scares and all of the demagoguery that has ever been foisted upon us through the media and other sources. This is a day-by-day thing. This isn't, I'm worried what's going to happen in 50 years, that the sea level is going to rise 25 feet. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's worry about today. What today can I do that by which I can serve my neighbor best? Not just the neighbor who's here in front of me, but also that neighbor who's coming after me. What can I do that demonstrates and that is best serving him in love? Day by day, maybe even can by can or bottle by bottle. Now, I'm not sure where I stand on the issue of global warming, but I do know that God's command to us to care for our neighbors in need. And there's so much need, even apart from the considerations of global warming. We have plenty of neighbors and plenty of need, whether it be the victims of those California wildfires. We don't know what's causing them, but we know that they've created a need among our neighbors. Hurricane Katrina, global warming, I don't know. All I know is a lot of people who are in need afterwards. The tsunamis in Southeast Asia or the AIDS crisis in Africa. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief is an international relief agency extending a touch of mercy to all these neighbors in need. To find out about their efforts around the world, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. When we come back, we're going to review an All Saints Sunday sermon preached by Pastor Joe Fisher of Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. All Saints Sunday, right after this.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.